with repentance. At least I had anticipated finishing last week with repentance. And the last thing we talked about was forgiveness, especially forgiving one another. And apparently that generated either, I'm not sure if I was misunderstood or if it just generated good conversation. But in either case, I want to revisit it just for a few minutes or however long our discussion might warrant. I want to revisit it for just a few minutes. It's a very important topic because it's something that we are engaged in every day, or at least we probably should be engaged in every day, because we offend and we are offended. And it happens so easily. If we are the offender, much to our shame, much too easy. And so I thought it would do us well just to back up and review a little bit of what we said last week and maybe expand a little bit on what we said last week. Now, the one thing that we talked about last week and the sole function of forgiveness is what? Restoration. Restoration of a relationship, all right? And let's just take, obviously, our primary example. God made a way of forgiveness that we might have what? We might have fellowship with him, that we might be restored to the position that Adam lost, all right? Apart from that, what other function would there be? Now, there are benefits, but that's the function, all right? So, that gives us our guideline. Everything we think about forgiveness has to do with relationships. You don't forgive yourself, all right? So, you're always directing forgiveness to someone else. Are they directing forgiveness to you? Now, a couple of principles that we need to make sure we keep in mind. First of all, who can forgive sin? God, all right? Anybody else? How many say no? No one else can forgive sin. How many say yes? All right. For those that didn't raise your hand, tell me what you're thinking. Forgive sin. Definitionally, what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of what? The law of God. Sin, by definition for us, can only be an act against the law of God. And that's important. Mark? All right. In the first example, good parallel. First example, what was being forgiven? When Christ was dealing with this person, and he said that you may know, what was he saying? Well, he was saying, I'm forgiving sin because I am God. I have that power. It's one of the proofs. Because it was a true statement. The question that was asked, who can forgive sins but God? What's the answer? No one. No one can forgive sin. Now, in the next situation, forgive what? Forgive for their act against you. But their act against you is not sin against you, for you have no right to set a standard. Only God, and only God's word, sets our standard. We live in it, and that's why I wanted to come back to it today. We live in a world where forgiveness is commonplace. All right? Everybody, oh, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? All right? It's almost trite in many instances. I'm not saying in every instance. But it has become a very social thing to do. Even, and perhaps even more so, in a Christian community where we add some significance to it that deals with our point, forgiveness, restoration, okay? But at the same time, I'm not sure that we keep it in totally the right perspective. Now, I think as we go along, because this is good, and I'm glad that Mark asked the question, because it is the distinction that we have to make when we talk about forgiveness. Who is forgiving sin, and what are we doing when we forgive? And it's exactly right. If you don't make some distinction here, you can commingle the two. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. All right? Now, I want to look at just some text. I just want to read, and you're going to, if you got your Bibles or your phones or whatever you're using, you may want to follow along with these. And I'm not going to take a lot of time. We're not going to discuss each one. I just want to read some of these texts. And I want you to think about, well, let me before we do that, let me ask one other question. When did God, if I can put this in a human terminology, when did God think about forgiving us? What does Scripture tell us? Yeah, before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Christ. Well, that had to involve a consideration of forgiveness, right? Now, we weren't even born then. And when we were born, we were born in sin because of what Adam had done. So what did God see in us to consider forgiving us? Now, we talked about when forgiveness happens a few Sundays back. But I'm talking about when God considered forgiveness. All right? What was there in us that made God consider forgiving us? Nothing. Exactly. Nothing. So, point. What then was there about God, and what must there be about us as his children, those that are saved? What was there? And again, we have to speak somewhat from a human perspective, obviously. But what was there? Why did that happen? What did we consider in our salvation? Our salvation is a result of God's grace, His love, right? Sometimes mercy is used. Now, grace, why is it an act of grace? Why is it an act of love? Why is it an act of mercy? Why?
He sees us in Christ,
but what before, and again, I'm limited, obviously, in what I can do, but what was there in God that even brought about the covenant of grace? Well, that, and a little more definitive. Is what? All right. His goodwill, his mercy and what. So, and I don't want to belabor it, and I don't want to take time. But there, from our perspective, because again, we're looking at this trying to see, all right, how does this impact us? All right? If we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to do what we're going to read in some of these passages, there was a spirit, there was an attribute of love and mercy, but there must be then this predisposition, if I can put it that way, to forgive. All right? If you are offended, and the first time you ever thought about forgiveness was when you're offended, you got a pretty good chance probably of not forgiving. Because forgiveness is not natural for us. Forgiveness requires you to, whatever term, and we'll talk about this some a little more, but whatever term we want to use, requires you to overlook, to forget, to pardon, to again, a number of terms can be used. But to overlook what somebody's done against you. Well, isn't that, now God does not overlook. Can God forgive sin? Just, okay, I'm not going to hold that to your account. No. No, he can't. So, this idea of, and what do you hear a lot today that kind of goes against that? God is what? God is love, and God will find a way to get us all into heaven. All right? God cannot overlook sin because of his justice. God cannot be just and overlook sin. And you've got that over against, if I can put it that way, his love and mercy. And the way he dealt with sin in love and mercy was he put our sin on his son. But he dealt with every bit of our sin on his son. There's not a sin that you or I commit that Christ didn't pay the penalty for. Every one of them. Now, so when we are forgiving, and again, only God can forgive sin. So our forgiveness is something other than a forgiveness of sin. Because again, sin deals with God's law. it's a sin against him. And I think some of the confusion, and you know, I don't seek to blame everything on the devil, but I think some of the lack of clarity about what sin is a graying of the area so that we don't think of it, just like when we talked about forsaking sin. In repenting, there has to be a hatred of sin. There has to be a knowledge of what sin is. All right? And I'm not going to go back, but we talked about those things. And if there's not, there's not going to be a repentance. And there will be no forgiveness on God's part for lip service repentance. None. All right? Now, let's look at these passages. Let's start in Proverbs. There's several in Proverbs. And I'm not necessarily reading every one of them. I just picked a few. Proverbs 19. And most of these are dealing with sin against a brother. Sin against God that involves a brother, if I can put it more clearly and more correctly, probably. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression against him. All right? You say, well, there's that transgression, and that sin. Sin is transgression of the law of God. But here you're talking about man dealing with man, and keeping in mind, we can't forgive sin. We can forgive an action against us, but we can't forgive a sin. All right? Take a look at Proverbs 24, verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Now, thine enemy is generally going to be somebody who has hurt you. They are desiring your harm. They've stolen from you, whatever. Your enemy is somebody that's transgressed the law of God relative to you. All right? So, how do we deal with that? Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Now, I'm not going to try to deal with the last part of that second verse, but the Lord is not pleased when we have an attitude of heart that rejoices even in our enemies' problems. I think that's safe to say. Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now we see this, we'll see this phrase again, I believe, in one of the New Testament passages, heaping coals. That's not the point. The point here is to show the love of God in how you deal even with your enemy. And we see this in the New Testament. We'll see it here. Turn to Matthew 5. If you got a question as we go along, feel free to stop me. We certainly will take time because, again, I don't know what the questions were or if there were just good discussion last week. But I want to try to be clear. I want to make sure I'm clear. If you think I'm saying something that you've got a question about, you know, let me know. If you won't do it during class. Let me know after class, and I'll correct it if I'm wrong, because I don't want to be wrong. It's too important. Matthew 5, a little bit longer passage, 39, starting with verse 39. 38, you've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. All right? It's not just a general be nice. You're doing it for a reason. You're doing it because you're children of God. And then he gives him, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Again, I would suggest to you that this goes to the question I ask, what was it that made God consider giving his son to die for your sin, that there would be this restoration, this spirit of forgiveness? I think you'll see it in these verses as we read them. Something that your heart has known. And if you've never experienced the forgiveness of God, you can forget being able to understand what these verses are saying. You will never know what it is to have a spirit of forgiveness if you've never experienced the forgiveness of God. I'm not saying you can't say, I'll forgive you. But you will not understand, and you will not appreciate what true forgiveness entails. When God forgave, now the penalty was paid, but in that forgiveness of our sin, they're gone. To be remembered against us no more. When you forgive, when you say you forgive, that should be true of you and me. If we forgive, the matter's gone. As far as we're concerned, it's gone. If you bring it back, you can forgive. Now, again, human nature, that gets real hard. Real hard. Mark chapter 11. Verse 25. Verse that impacts part of our own spiritual life. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Why? That your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Right? You got to be considering it. It's got to be on your mind and heart. This is forgiveness where perhaps you've never spoken to the person that's offended you. Maybe you have. But this is irrespective of what they've done. The attitude of forgiveness. Luke 6. verse 35 through 37. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping, kind of some of what we've already heard, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And so forth. All right? Again, because it shows something of what you've experienced, it's a testimony to the forgiveness you've known from God. It also impacts your relationship with God. Romans 12. So, you know, how frequent this matter comes up in Scripture should tell us something. Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians 4. Again, if anybody's got a question or comment, I'm moving on with some of these. But Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians, Paul has this a lot. I mean, you go through these epistles and you can find it a lot. Colossians 3:13. Let's go back up to 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, preparation. There's developing the spirit, that attitude. All right? You're doing that. Then in 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 Peter, and this will be the last one. 1 Peter 3. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And the one mind comes from what? What do we know? What gives us a oneness? Who gives us a oneness? Christ, particularly the unity in the church, is brought about by a oneness in the... Who's here to help us? The Holy Spirit. Is it not the working of the Spirit of God that gives us the oneness? Right? So here, finally, be ye all of one mind. That is the Holy Spirit working in us to give us that oneness of mind. We're different people. We all have different thoughts, different approaches, different backgrounds that impact how we think and how we approach things. No question. So how do we come to a oneness of mind? By the unifying work of the Holy Spirit. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise. But on the other, what we just read is what we normally would do. That's human nature. You know, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. That's just kind of the way you grow up. Well, sometimes you got to defend yourself. But here, the attitude is, No, you don't strike back. Contrarywise, blessing. Contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. You get the theme that's going through all this? It's an obligation. It's part of being a Christian. It is unique to being a Christian. You can't do it otherwise. We're going to be dealing in our next chapter with good works. Good works are unique to Christians. Truly good works. And we'll see that. But forgiveness, perhaps, and this is why the more we consider the forgiveness we enjoy, the easier it is to forgive. When we consider the magnitude of what has been forgiven for us, how can you not forgive somebody else? And just to remind us that, when Christ taught his disciples to pray, it's one of the things in the prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. So very important that we develop the attitude of forgiveness. The actual action, the actual act of forgiveness, somebody comes to you, and we learned last week, if they come and repent and seek forgiveness, you must forgive. If you do not, you have sinned against your brother. So their transgression against you, if you're not careful, may lead you into a transgression against them. But the other thing that we talked about last week, this spirit of forgiveness, if we do not have it, and if the brother doesn't come, or if they come and say, I'm not going to ask your forgiveness. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's all your fault. Whatever the circumstance there, you know, if what happens in your heart then? What starts to happen? You start getting bitter. Okay. If that's the way it's going to be, I understand. You know, I can play that game too. Ever have that thought? Yeah. All right. If that's the way you're going to treat me, too can play that game. And all of a sudden, our heart is engaging in a violation of one or more of the Ten Commandments. And we'll see that when we get to the law of God. If you harbor resentment or anger or bitterness in your heart against somebody because of what they've done to you, and acknowledging that what they did to you was wrong, You know, we'll give you that. The person should not have done what they did. But if you react wrong, now you're guilty. That's why there is so much in Scripture about working on our attitude, our spirit of forgiveness, so that we can respond. We can forgive no matter what. Right? Now, there are those who say, yeah, but if you forgive, they never learn. They never learn. You know, if I always forgive my child and I never discipline them, they'll never learn. Now, we've got to be careful, because a parent with a child is a relationship established by who? By God. Who set rules concerning that relationship? God. And God says, children, you are to obey your parents. God's word says, you spare the rod and you do what? The child doesn't learn. You spoil the child. Now, again, you got to take those things in a proper perspective. But authority, discipline in the church, it's an unknown of thing today, just about. Why? Well, because we don't judge anybody. We're to love one another. And we are. But God established authority in the church and established principles, established, if I can put it this way, a job description for the positions he created. So when you do not acknowledge those positions, parent-child, authority in civil government, you know, officer, you have no right to stop me. I can go as fast as I want. Well, you see how far that gets you. Why is that wrong? Because God, and we're told in his word, God has established these authorities for our own good. It's what he's intended them for. So where there are those established authorities in Scripture, you don't ignore them. If you fail to do your job, if you are this superior to the inferior, those are terms our catechism uses. If the superior fails to do their job, they have wronged the inferior. They have sinned against God. And they've hurt their inferior. Sinned against, as it were, sinned against God, and the inferior is impacted as well. The other way is true too. You know, God has established, okay, inferior, you are to obey your master. You don't obey, you've sinned against God. You may not like it. Now, I'm not, again, very general, the master telling you, I need you to go rob this bank. No, you don't obey your master. And I think you understand that I'm within the bounds of what God has established in connection with these relationships. But these verses are dealing with one with the other, co-equals. And that's a position equal with equal that our catechism talks about and we'll talk about when we get there. Then, okay, now I need to be ready. Even in those authoritarian positions, forgiveness is not out of line. But not forgiveness to the putting aside of the responsibility. If the child says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Parents are obligated to forgive them, right? And learn. Hopefully there's a forsaking of the way and the child learns. If the employer corrects the employee, you did this and that's wrong. You know, you can't drive your vehicle that way. You may hurt somebody. You can't be cutting up because the task is too serious. You know, you point those things out. If the employee says, I don't care, I'm having fun, then the employer's got to do something. He can't ignore that. But when it's co-equal, then this attitude of forgiveness, this heart that's ready to forgive, to be a testimony. Why? I was struck. I don't know if you've seen it, and I'll put a plug in. Maybe some of you have. Stephen Lee, if you haven't looked at this little video he did concerning the Pearl Mountain Coffee, go on his, I don't know if you can get there, if you type in Pearl Mountain Coffee, but it's about a man who went to Haiti and is doing something down there. But he goes to the mountains. He says, these children had never seen a white man. And he's asked about, do you know about Jesus? And they use their term. And he said, turned to his companion, what's that? He said, oh, that's the devil. He was struck. Why are these children thinking I'm talking about the devil when I'm talking about Jesus? And the person said, you're in the land of voodoo. They don't know anything about Jesus. So, and if you look at this, it doesn't take but a few minutes. So he goes and he starts teaching. He uses teaching, educating these children. And works out a deal and says, okay, I'll teach as long as I can have Bible study. And so he starts working with his children. One of the marks, said it took him about a year, 15, 18 months, I forget exactly how long, but one of the marks of the children was telling their parents, and he said, parents there are terribly severe, almost to the point we would probably say here abusive. But one of the marks of the children coming to the Lord was the children telling the parent when the parent beat them or was dealing with them improperly, the child saying, that's all right, I forgive you. Okay? Totally unnatural. But here are children who have learned of the forgiveness, and now it's something that they want to practice. So it's this heart attitude. All right, any questions, comments here? We're out of time. And we can continue this next week if we need to. Anybody got any thoughts or questions? Had a little note here. Forgiveness requires an attitude or preparation of heart, an understanding of what forgiveness entails, and the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. Forgiveness. Isn't that the heart of Christianity? Can you tell me anything more important or more central to your Christian life than forgiveness of your sin? should it not then be something that is a key part of our life as a Christian in dealing with others? Because we are God's children. We are to show forth in this world what it is to be forgiven, to understand it, realizing that the world, the unsaved, knows nothing of forgiveness, true forgiveness. So how will they know if we don't show it? Isn't that part of our job in doing the work of the kingdom? Something to think about, something to consider. All right, let's close in prayer.